Hello, advanced listeners. Well, we are so happy to have you here with us today, and we are looking at our transportation article for the month of January. We've been talking about transportation transformation. And yesterday we learned a lot about a company called Audi. They are a car-making company, and they have a countdown clock that will transform the way you need to wait for red lights or to deal with traffic jams. And we learned a lot yesterday, but we have different things to explore today. Perhaps car or driving a car, you don't want to be doing that. You want to get around a different way, perhaps a little bit natural or perhaps a bit healthier. You know, cycling has really taken off in the world, I would say, over the last 5 years as people try to become healthier. And we are going to learn about something a little bit different with cycling. We're going to learn about an e-bike. Well, what does e-bike mean? This means it's an electric bike, so it uses electricity to assist you as you are pedaling. We're going to learn more about that today. Now, I am so thankful that I have two great panelists that decided to return after yesterday's article. So, to my left, I have...
This is Josh, everybody. I'm very happy to be back talking about transportation.
Thanks for coming back, Josh. You had a lot of great things to contribute yesterday to our article. What was something that really stuck out for you yesterday?
I really appreciated the idea of making developments in car systems in order to really help with the environment and cutting down on the amount of time the cars just spend idly sitting there running without going anywhere.
Yeah, that was really, really great. And hopefully we'll save our environment more when we're not using fuel or not causing wear and tear on the vehicles, right?
Exactly.
Well, to my right, I have...
Pauline here. I'm also really interested to be back and talk about a different form of transportation that doesn't use any fuel, from what I understand, so very environmentally friendly. Although I will say yesterday's article was very interesting to me as well. I'm really excited about the idea of someday having some more early warnings built into the car that can tell you where some dangerous road situations might be up ahead, whether that's icy roads or, you know, a dangerous curve where traffic is stopped on the other side. You know, it's nice to think that there are some developments that could make driving a lot safer for everyone.
Right. And, you know, I think you had a great point, both of you, when you talked about the environmental benefits of this kind of countdown. And that's why I think today's article is also really helpful for us to consider. I think a lot of people have been going into cycling, like I said, because it is a healthier alternative. We understand, you know, that we're using a lot of fuel and it's not necessarily good for our environment. And so we want to be active in reducing that. So a lot of people have started biking even to work. I know several people that bike to work rather than taking any kind of fuel transportation. And we're going to learn a little bit more about a gentleman that does also use his electric bike to go everywhere. And he's a great advocate for the electric bike. And, you know, sometimes when we think of electric bikes, we just think perhaps of maybe the elderly that need assistance to get to certain places, right, with the assistance of electricity. What was your first impression of an electric bike, Pauline?
I had never heard of an electric bike before today. I had no idea what to think about it. I guess if I had any picture in my head, at the very first thought was just that maybe it was something you sat on and then it just took you where you maybe you just steered it, you know, that you were in charge of the steering and then it would just go. Or
right.
I honestly wasn't quite sure. I was really excited to read about this because it's a brand new technology for me to learn about.
Okay, great. And what about you, Josh?
Well, I wasn't sure what style of e-bike they were going to be talking about. If it was going to be something that was kind of similar to what Pauline was talking about, which is more like an electric scooter, right?
Right.
That's integrated into a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
or something different. And I had a feeling it was something different when I was just looking at the title.
Right, because we're talking about something that's new, right, in transportation technology. Well, why don't we go into our first reading for today? You can turn to page 39 in your Advanced magazine or on your electronic device and join us on line one in the first column.
Think e-bikes are for cheaters and the unfit? Think again. Ravi Kampaya, a 32-year-old University of Chicago nanotechnology doctoral student, has three goals on a grand biking journey. First, he is looking for a memorable adventure. Second, he wants to be the first person to take a 5,000-mile trip on an electric bicycle. Third, he wants to help boost the popularity of e-bikes and squash the myths. People think e-bikes are for lazy ones, who can't pedal, or who need exercise, or those who need to lose weight, Kampaya said. I want to change that notion, so people look at it from a different angle. People think it is cheating, Kampaya said. But once you try it, you see it is a completely different thing. It is the same workout, but you go farther and faster. You still have to pedal on most e-bikes. It's not a motorcycle. Kampaya estimates he can go about 160 miles while expending the same energy he'd use to go 110 miles on his road bike. So if you bike 10 miles for your commute, you can go about 15 miles with the same amount of a workout, he said.
Okay, well, today we're introduced to Ravi Kampaya, and he is a 32-year-old University of Chicago nanotechnology doctoral student. So we know where he lives, right? Chicago. And what is nanotechnology, Josh?
Well, nanotechnology is a branch of science that has been developed in the last decade or so, where they're mainly using very, very, very small tools or very, very, very small items in order to work on a molecular, a cellular, or an atomic level.
Right. So he's a smart guy. Right?
Very smart in order to work in nanotechnology, for
right.
sure.
And he's a doctoral student, so he's going for his PhD. What does a person need to do to go for their PhD nowadays?
Ooh, well, they have to have gone to, they've gotten their undergraduate degree, which is a 4-year degree in the United States. I believe then they have to do a master's, which is a 2 years. Oh, Josh is shaking his head, so I'm going to go to him because he knows more than I do then.
Well, there are many different branches of study, and there are ways to go through a doctoral program that include a master's, but there are also ways to go through a doctoral program that do not include a master's, so you don't necessarily have to have a master's degree before you pursue your doctorate, although some people will do that. They will pursue their master's, and then after their master's is finished, then they pursue a doctoral. But you can go straight to a doctoral study after undergraduate. But usually what it requires is years of further study, and then also you have to become an expert in your field, and then you have to write a thesis and then defend it amongst peers. So that means your professors, actually, that are already doctors in that particular field of study.
Right. And when you write a thesis, I mean, this is more like a book than it is a paper, right? I mean, it's a pretty large written work.
It's a very significant work. And for some people, their doctoral work will also be published and will be something that's referred to for the rest of their professional career.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like a springboard into what they will study, right? In research-wise into the future. And especially in this example, he's doing nanotechnology, right? They're continuing to make breakthrough with that. Well, he is an avid cyclist, right? And he has three goals that he would like to achieve when he is on a grand bike journey. When we use the word grand, we mean bigger, mm-hmm. right? So on a big bike journey. What are those three goals, Josh?
Well, so his first goal is looking for a memorable adventure. So this is a big adventure, right, like a grand adventure, that he will always be able to remember because it's so memorable. The second is he wants to be the first person to take a 5,000-mile trip on an electric bicycle, which is a long long ways. Doing 5,000 miles in anything is a long ways, but doing especially an electric bicycle is fantastic. And I think that's like, what, 8,000 kilometers? So it's really, it's a long distance, right?
It is, yeah.
So, and then thirdly, he wants to help boost the popularity of e-bikes and squash the myths. So to get rid of or to stop these myths about e-bikes that they're just for cheaters and the unfit, because obviously you have to be rather fit in order to do 8,000 kilometers on a bicycle of any sort, apparently.
Right. Yeah, yeah. This myths that you're talking about, you mentioned two of them just now, to squash them. What does it mean to squash something?
Well, like Josh said, it's to stop something from continuing. Quite literally, when we say you to squash something, you might squash a bug. You know, you like squish it, you like slap it, and but you've stopped it. Even in the example of squashing a bug, you've stopped it from bothering you. It's dead. You've squashed it. You've gotten rid of it.
Right. What do people think about e-bikes, Josh?
Well, so from the title, they think that they are for cheaters and for the unfit, which is maybe something that I had associated with it earlier on, that it's sort of like the electric scooter kind of thing. And so for people who don't really want to pedal, right?
Right.
And still be able to get around by bicycle. So a cheater or somebody who's not fit enough in order to be able to do so.
Right. So that's why he says here, people think e-bikes are for lazy ones, for people who are lazy, who can't pedal or need to exercise, or those who need to lose weight.
Yes, I think this is referring to maybe people who know a little bit more about the e-bikes that realize that, oh, okay, I guess you do have to pedal some. So maybe you get some exercise, but it's not for the truly athletic. It's just for people who are trying to get kind of a halfway exercise, lose a little bit of weight, but aren't willing to do the full biking athletic experience. You know, it's kind of is the misunderstanding, right?
Right. And he wants to squash these myths. In fact, he says, I want to change that notion, that idea, so people look at it from a different angle. So they don't have this negative view of e-bikes. They don't think it's just for lazy people, right? He goes on to say, which you mentioned, Josh, and it's in the title, people think it is cheating. But what does he say once you try it? What will happen, Josh?
Well, that you'll see that it's a completely different thing. It's not cheating at all. In fact, it's the exact same workout that you would have that if you were doing a conventional bicycle. So if you still want to go by bicycle, you still have to pedal, like he says, and you're still getting the same amount of workout, so it's still a good, strenuous, healthy activity. The only difference is that it's not like a motorcycle, right? So it's not like the scooter that we were thinking of before where you just pedal a little bit and then you turn on your electric engine and then you scoot around without having to do any work.
Right, so this idea that you can do the same workout but go farther and faster, I think that's a great idea.
I love it. It reminds me of the phrase in English we say, you get more bang for your buck. So you get more from the workout the work and energy you put into pedaling that bike, you're going to get more benefits from. You get to go even further and faster with that work that you're putting out. And that sounds really appealing to me. I'm kind of on the fence as to whether I could become an avid cyclist. But this, I don't know, it actually makes it a little more appealing to me to think that, okay, maybe I could make it to some further distances that are appealing to me, but sound too far on a conventional bike that I don't think I'm up to that task. So maybe there could be a meeting in the middle, so to speak, that I could get a workout and at the level that I'm ready for and still get a long ways out to really go somewhere. That sounds enjoyable to me.
Yeah, I find that actually he becomes quite tangible with the distances he can achieve in this next sentence, Josh. What does he say?
Well, so he says that, or he estimates that you can go about 160 miles while expending the same energy you'd use to go 110 miles on a road bike. So that's really quite a bit further, right, for the same amount of bang for your buck. Or the same amount of energy that you expend, you'll be able to go quite a bit further, which is really quite attractive.
Right. So if you're wanting to travel around on your bicycle, say in a country, then you can estimate this for your day. You're gonna cover a lot more territory in a day.
Exactly. And then I like that he brings it down in this last paragraph on the left-hand column to talk about your commute. He says if you bike 10 miles on your commute, you could actually go 15 miles with that same amount of workout. But the way I'm taking it is that I could get there even quicker, right? So I'm not another difficulty, I think, with buying into the idea of biking to work is the amount of time that it was going to take me. But now if I get to cut down that commute time and still get a workout and do it in a way that is clean energy, you know, that I'm not polluting and being a part of this healthy lifestyle, then again, I'm more likely to do it if I found out I can get there more quickly and I'm not having to set aside a really big chunk of time for the commute. So that's nice.
So far, the benefits seem very attractive with regard to an e-bike, correct? So, well, there's still a future to be held with cycling, and in our next reading, we're going to learn more about that.
The future of cycling. All you hear about right now is electric cars. But you don't hear much about electric bikes, Kampaya said. These e-bikes are the future, and in about 5 years, you will see them everywhere, he said. He discovered e-bikes in 2013, and ever since, I've been amazed. The technology is amazing. Kampaya's bike has extra features and can receive directions via a smartphone. And the battery allows for lights that are brighter than traditional bike accessories. He believes these bikes will be revolutionary for people who might think commuting to work by bike is too far or too challenging. E-bikes are a hidden gem, Kampaya said. Most people don't know about them, but those who do absolutely love them.
Well, listeners, if you're just joining us, we're looking at transportation transformation. And today we've been learning about the e-bike, the electric bike, and the benefits that an e-bike has. We've been introduced to Ravi Kampaya. He is a 32-year-old doctoral student from Chicago, and he is a big fan of the e-bike. He is a big fan for several reasons. Pauline, what would be one of those reasons that he's a big fan?
Well, he mentions that you can go faster, farther, while expending the same amount of energy, while still, you know, getting exercise as you would in a regular bike.
Right. And what does he say in our first paragraph that we've heard from our reading just now, Josh?
Well, he says in the first paragraph that right now, all you hear about are electric cars. So there are a lot of developments in the electric car world, and it keeps making the news. But you don't really hear hardly anything about electric bikes.
That's certainly true for me. Like I said, until this article, I'd never even heard of an electric bike, and I've definitely heard lots about electric cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's because we use cars a lot, you know, so people are wanting to reduce the amount of fuel that we're releasing into the atmosphere because of using cars. But here is definitely a more natural alternative to that idea. And so he is a big advocate for electric bikes. In fact, Josh, he gives a prediction. What is his prediction?
Well, his prediction is that e-bikes are really the thing of the future, and that in about 5 years that we're going to start seeing them everywhere we go.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I'm open to it. I think it would be great. I think the more that we can encourage people to use clean energy sources of transportation, the better. And I know for myself, this has really piqued my curiosity. Like I said, I'm someone who's kind of on the fence. I wouldn't call myself a super active, athletic person, but somewhat maybe. So I could see where this could cater to a group of us that are concerned about clean energy you know, clean energy usage and transportation and have maybe thought about biking but haven't fully bought in, I think there's a group of us that could get really excited about it.
Right. And in actual fact, the city that we live in currently, you know, we have a lot of bikes that you can rent through the city government and ride all over the, you know, all over the city. And it's been very popular, in fact, especially with students, university students, getting from A to B. But something like an electric bike may help them get there farther and faster, right? So Ravi, he's an interesting character. When did he discover e-bikes?
Well, it says here that he discovered e-bikes in 2013, and that ever since, he's been so amazed by the technology and the practice of using his e-bike that he's been a huge fan ever since.
Which is interesting coming from him, because he is into nanotechnology. So he knows his technology very well. But he says that the technology of an electric bike is amazing.
Definitely high praise from somebody who really knows technology, right? And I have to say, this next part where it goes on to some of the things, the extra features that his bike can do are really amazing, that it can receive directions via his smartphone, and the battery allows for lights that are brighter than traditional bike accessories. That sounds really great. I think that's a really important piece. Again, when we're talking about safety with vehicles and transportation, I hope that we are constantly transforming our transportation to become more and more safe. And for bikes, I think having lights that are bright enough that the car drivers will see them is really important. So that's nice to see, too.
Right. Safety is very important.
Although, as far as safety goes, one of the things that I would like to see as well is a cell phone charger, so that you could really go out into the middle of nowhere with your e-bike, take advantage of the extra range that you get, and also charge your cell phone so you don't get terribly lost.
Because that will help you with those directions that you're receiving.
Exactly, right? And then that really, the idea that it extends the range that you can comfortably go, I think would really open up some areas that I wouldn't normally consider bicycling to, and that's really quite exciting.
Right, yeah, I do think one of the traditional drawbacks of biking is that we think about the distance that we're going and whether we ourselves are physically able to make that distance, especially like you mentioned earlier, our commute. We want to know if we can get there in time for work, mm-hmm. because we need to be on time, and also whether we can handle the distance that we need to travel.
Right.
You know, if you live 5 minutes away from work, which I happen to do, I think, oh, yeah, I will take my bike, and I can bike that. You know, it's a small distance. I'm not really going to think too much about it. But if you live further away, then you really are thinking, well, this is going to be a workout for my day. I need to think about my time schedule. Am I going to meet my appointments? All these different things. Not to mention safety when it comes to peak hour traffic, right? Well, he believes that these bikes will be revolutionary for people who might think commuting to work by bike is too far, like I just said, or too challenging. What does he say about e-bikes here, Pauline?
I like this. He says, e-bikes are a hidden gem. So a gem, of course, literally is going to be like a precious stone that you would put on a ring. So like a diamond is a type of gem. But here we're just saying it's a hidden, it's a valuable thing, right? It's something that's special, that's valuable, and it's not something that people are realizing quite yet, just how special and valuable the e-bike can be to us. And I agree. I'm pretty sold on this idea.
I know in our city where we live right now that biking is quite popular. You know, we have great trails along the rivers. We have trails along the sides of the roads. They're hoping to do that more and more, actually. I know we had road construction earlier this year to actually make more bike paths along certain main roads in the city. But how about America? Are people really into biking in America, Josh?
Well, that's a very good question. America is so big that it's hard to say that one thing is popular over the entire United States of America. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly areas in the United States where cycling is very, very popular. For example, I lived in the city of Portland, which is on the west coast of the United States. Most people are familiar with California, but not so familiar with Oregon. Portland is the largest city in Oregon, and Oregon is the state, is just right above California.
Yeah.
Portland is a wonderful city. It's very, very livable. They say it's one of the most livable cities in the United States, but it does have a little bit of a traffic problem in that the city is divided in half basically by a river. There are many bridges that go back and forth, mm-hmm. but it can cause for a lot of gridlock where it takes a while to get around by car. Now, because of that, and because people in Portland are very minded of the ecology and they want to really protect the environment, mm-hmm. cycling is very, very popular. And as a matter of fact, where I used to live, it was quicker to get from my house to downtown on a bicycle than it was on a motorcycle, a scooter, or a car. And it's because a bicycle can go through stopped cars.
Oh.
Much easier than a scooter or a motorcycle could. As a matter of fact, if you tried to do that in Portland on a scooter or a motorcycle, you get in trouble. But not so much in a bicycle, because sometimes they would have special bike lanes that mm-hmm. only bicycles would use. And sometimes it's acceptable for bicycles to use the right side of the road and be able to weave in and out of stopped cars.
Wow. My brother commutes to work every day. He lives actually in Chicago, where this guy, Ravi Kampera, is doing his doctoral studies. And yeah, my brother lives in Chicago, and I know he bikes to work every day. So there's definitely people out there doing it.
Yeah, in New Zealand, too, it's become increasingly popular. I would say, road biking has always been popular to a certain degree, and then mountain biking kind of took over from there for a while. But the commute thing has been a big thing that a lot of people have now started biking to work. Because of traffic jams, taking the expansion of a freeway can take a year or two to actually do. And so people just try to find alternatives in the meantime, and biking is one of them. Well, I really do think that an e-bike is going to help these people go further and faster. We would love to hear your feedback as well. How do you get around your city? Would you be interested in getting an e-bike? Why or why not? Send us your feedback at studioclassroom.com or through our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you. And we hope that you have happy cycling. Well, this is Amanda,
Pauline,
and Josh
saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.